Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
All right, let's just talk about the what is going on in the world. There's there's this whole push in the United States: no Americans will die, should die for Israel. That's shape-shifting anti-Semitism or Jew hatred, as far as I'm concerned. But and that becomes the speak. That said, the G7 has confirmed that Iran should never be allowed to own nuclear weapons. What do we know in terms of how far along Iran really was in this with this regard to this ambition?
It's hard to accurately pinpoint stuff. Of course, there are things that are known in certain high offices, you know, that aren't being that can't be shared publicly. But apparently, and we see that even the Atomic Energy Commission came out with the findings that indeed Iran was forging ahead towards towards nuclear material and the ability to weaponize a nuclear weapon. And you know, it's speculation whether they already stockpiled enough and were already working on it, or whether it was a question of weeks or months or whatever. But there's no question that their determination has been the same. They've done it with a lot of stealth and cunning and determination for a long time, and it was clear that they weren't changing their path. They were taking advantage of every opportunity they had. So you know, the time was now. You know, if we take a look at it, if we step back and take a look at what happened, you know, we can actually see that Iran had threatened to wipe Israel off the map. Their program was all in place to the extent that Iran thought that they were, you know, in a defensive, that they were well defended by their proxies. And on the other hand, that they were in a position to dictate stuff, and when the time was ripe, to put their diabolical endgame into operation. And, you know, by the grace of God and the good work of people from the Mossad and the army, is coming to naught, I should say. The proxies have all more or less been dismantled for all intents and purposes. And now Iran and their nuclear program are being taken care of. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I could give you, I think, and maybe your listeners would appreciate this as well, a kind of analysis.
Yes.
Like, you know, as an analyst, I take a look at things with a double lens. One is what looks logical,
right,
and the other is through a lens of esoteric learnings of, you know, that comes and says, you know, there's an old Yiddish saying that says, Mensch tracht und Gott
lacht. Absolutely. Man plans and God finds it amusing and laughs.
And so, you know, if we take a look at what's really happening here, I'm saying beyond the logical, okay, the logical corresponds to this, is that there, you know, I think that we're in an end game that of the eradication of pure evil from the world. Okay, we saw it raise its ugly head during World War II with Hitler and the Nazis. Okay, and if we take a look and analyze today around the world, there are a lot of regimes that aren't nice and are run by people who aren't ethical and aren't nice, but you don't see the same kind of hatred and desire to wantonly destroy
the world, good in the world.
Exactly. You know, you don't see like pure evil. You see different countries, you know, that are defending, you know, rightly or wrongly and with different means, you know, right and wrong means. But the Iranian regime is actually probably the only one in the world which was like a major power that was creating disharmony and destruction around the world, funding, you know, they were, you know, in the guise of a nation among nations, but they were actually a theorist nation with a radical doctrine that they were trying to fulfill, which, by the way, didn't only include Israel. People who understand the Shia Sunni discord of 1500 years understands that the at the end of the day, you know, their desire was also to set Saudi Arabia up in flames. So you know, you see that this whole thing in a period of, you know, less than 2 years is actually getting dismantled. And unless the proxies of evil or the proxies of hypocrisy around the world, you know, try and intervene to stop this, I think that the world will be a much better place soon.
It's so interesting what you say, because we live in South Africa, where we constantly talk about how appalling our government is here. But you're right to make the distinction. The South African government is really more about self-enrichment. They're useless and they are corrupt, but they aren't going out necessarily to bring bad things to the world. It's a very, very different. It's very, they might enable some of these horrific regimes, but that's still somewhat different to the level of evil that exists within Iran. And it is quite remarkable that 20 months ago you had Hezbollah, you had could really do significant damage to Israel. You had Hamas within Gaza and the West Bank. Israel was in a very, very different position to what it is now, considering they have been effectively de-armed or rendered ineffectual. So we really can start to see a world without. But what happens afterwards? Does Iran, do all the people in the world just disappear, or do they regroup, I don't know, in Cyprus somewhere?
I don't think in...
No, obviously not. It was just...
Yeah. I'm saying, I think insofar as Iran, what happens is that you could take a look at, and it's, there are a lot of times when countries, you know, or nations are hijacked by evil forces. Mm-hmm. You know, that was a case in Germany too. It wasn't the case that all Germans were anti-Semitic to the extent that they wanted to eradicate Jews from the earth, you know? They were hijacked by the Nazi party and all that. The same thing in Iran. You had
these
Shia clerics who came in and hijacked Iran, who was a westernized, secular kind of nation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what will happen if the regime falls, and the surest way to ensure that it doesn't go back to business as usual with a radical
element,
you know, is to make sure that regime does fall. And if the secular regime, or if the Shah's son returns to Iran as a leader or an interim leader or something like that,
right,
and you know, the free world jumps in. I mean, let's put it this way: at the end of the day, if we take a look at the duplicity, let's say, of the European nations in particular, you know, or even, you know, Asian nations, a lot of them are looking at Iran as a very rich country.
Right. So that, in fact, can be hopefully a positive way forward. Eli Cohen, I do need to end it there, unfortunately. He is a journalist, he's an author and a political analyst, giving us a very, very interesting perspective on the Iranian war. Eli, apologies that I do need to cut the interview short. It is 8:53. I have another guest on standby who we'll be chatting to in just one.